Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh. For more than 40 years, Dr. Dobson has been a champion for the spiritual, emotional, and psychological well-being of the family. But nearly 30 years ago, another aspect of that ministry took center stage when he sustained a major heart attack. Since that time, Dr. Dobson has also become an advocate for Christians placing an emphasis on good health, exercise, and nutrition. And on today's Family Talk broadcast, he's continuing his conversation with Dr. Richard Furman about the need to make health a priority. Dr. Richard Furman has over 30 years' experience as a vascular surgeon. He has served two terms as governor of the American College of Surgeons and is founder of World Medical Mission, which is the medical arm of Samaritan's Purse. And by the way, he is also on the Samaritan's Purse Board of Directors. Here now is Dr. James Dobson to reintroduce Dr. Richard Furman to begin today's edition of Family Talk.
When I had my heart attack, what I was told was not very helpful. They gave me the total cholesterol number, which is a composite of three different things. And then they said it should be below 200.
Right.
That didn't tell me much of anything. In fact, when I had my heart attack, my cholesterol was 203. So the total cholesterol was not relevant to me, but
your
HDL
was so low is why the total was
The HDL, I had those patrol cars were parked.
You didn't have many, right.
They were not doing their job. I had, I think, 32 was my number, and that's where the problem lay, plus the fact that my LDL was too high. It was, I think, over 200. So it was the composite numbers that I began to realize.
Exactly.
And that's what you're describing in this book.
Right. You said your HDL was 33.
I think it was 32, as I recall.
Anything below 40 for men puts you in a completely different health category.
Yeah.
So the HDL is so important, and people don't even realize it. They don't know what HDL stands for. They don't think of the little particles, how important the HDL is. That's why you had your heart attack. You didn't have the patrol cars going around cleaning that out. That puts you in a completely different health category, and your exercise and weight loss. Those are the two things that's going to get those particles up.
Well, I got the message. There were people like you and others. I began studying. And I began to realize if I wanted to be healthy and if I wanted to live, that I would do something about this. It became a spiritual matter for me, too. I remember lying in bed saying, Lord, I've messed this up. You give me another chance, and I'll see if I can straighten this out. Mm-hmm. And when I said I was going to exercise every day, I mean to tell you, it was every day.
Right.
If I let myself cheat, I'd be cheating a lot because it's not easy to keep a regimen like that. But I did it and began to feel really good about myself. And it began to show up in my numbers.
Well, and that is great, and you show it every day, just the way you get around and how you look and that you're still active and doing things. But the sad part is that over half of Americans, more than 50% of Americans, are completely sedentary. They don't do any exercise. They'll come home from work, turn on the television, they'll eat dinner, turn on the television, and they'll sit there. Over 50% will do that. There are only 12% of Americans are at their ideal weight. Those two factors just don't go together, that so many of us don't exercise like you're talking about. You look on television, you can't turn on television, they don't tell you some kind of diet plan to lose weight, and where they lost 50 pounds. And there's medicine you can take that will decrease your appetite. You can lose weight. I've had friends do both of those, that lost weight on a mail-order diet. I was so proud that he was losing weight, but the problem was, the same way I had a good friend, a singer, who took the medicine. His appetite went down, he lost weight, but when they quit the medicine, when they quit the mail-order diet, the weight went right back up because they didn't follow this plan that's described at richardfurman.com in your cholesterol matters. They didn't follow that plan of beating the desire for those foods.
Well, elaborate on that.
Okay. There's one key factor in losing weight that I think is the most important factor, and it's called the 10-minute factor. And how that works, to lose weight, you got to be on a separate diet to lose the weight than you are on regular weight. But you've got to practice your weight-sustaining diet as you lose the weight. So you need to learn what you're going to eat that you can eat from now on. It can't be the shakes and the candy and all the stuff they advertise on the television. You've got to learn which foods to eat, which foods not to eat. We just went over the foods to not eat. You got to learn. It's not the calories. It's learn the food. What fills you up with the least number of calories? Well, fruit, vegetables, and fiber will fill you up with the least number of calories. You just get to learning that. You'll learn in there about why is fiber so important. It has carbohydrates in it, but it holds it in and it releases it hours after you've eaten it. Rather than a big sugar spike, it just releases it slow so you don't have that hunger. So that's the idea, that you've got to beat that desire by learning what to eat and learning what not to eat.
Mm. And you plan to do this for the rest of your life. It's a lifetime commitment. It's a determination. It's a spiritual commitment.
Right.
It is a willingness to do what I can to do what the scriptures tell us about our body. You've got some scriptures that relate to that.
Well, here's the thing. Putting it in that light, this is serious. God's given us a great body. We're the caretakers of it. How are we taking care of it? And I think if we ask Him for wisdom, if we learn these points that we're trying to make, if we learn that and ask Him for direction and go with that, what I was getting into, that 10-minute factor, where you have to decide whether you're going to eat something or not, that you can control that factor. You can control that an addiction for about 10 minutes, and that's it. But what I would encourage you, the next time you want something between meals, the next time you want the wrong food, say, I'm not going to eat it for the next 10 minutes. That's the 10-minute factor. I'm not going to eat it for the next 10 minutes. And then get you some non-caloric drink of any kind, whether it's water or a tea, whatever. Put that in your stomach and then start doing something else. And you will lose weight if you stay on that, the diet of the fruit, vegetables, the fiber, and then eating the good fat, which is the salmon, the olives, and the nuts. It's all laid out in there, but you've got to learn to eat the good food, all right, not eat the bad food.
Let's talk about some of the myths of how to control weight. I'm probably going to make some people angry. But the one that's advertised the most is Nutrisystem. And then in terms of cholesterol, it's statins. You have problems with those approaches, those chemical or product-related approaches to doing what's right, as opposed to learning to control it.
Those are probably the two best examples for our listeners to think about. Nutrisystem, if you look at that advertisement, it shows someone who's lost 50 pounds. It shows all the food that they're going to send you, but it's the wrong food. Some of it's right, but most of it's the wrong food. But basically, it's the calories that they cut down, and you will lose weight. On Nutrisystem, you will lose weight, but you will regain it because you have not beat the desire. So that's for the bad foods. You've got to change your eating habits. You have to want the salmon instead of the steak. The thing about it is many, many people, like I said, a friend of mine, I watched him go on a Nutrisystem type diet. You will lose weight, but you'll gain it back. Only 2 to 20% don't gain it back. That's why this plan is so important, that you learn the right foods to eat. You'll get down to your ideal weight and you'll stay there. Now, on the statin part, if you're over 45 years old, half of Americans, nearly half of Americans over 45 are on a statin. That ought to be a big wake-up call to let you know statins will lower your LDL cholesterol. That lets you know how important it is to lower your LDL cholesterol. But as I point out, that's only a third of the picture. I had a friend that called me within the past 2 weeks. He had had three stents put in. One was the LAD, your artery that you got blocked. One of them was 99% blocked, and he was so happy, he said, God intervened. They picked that up. I started having chest pains when I'd walk upstairs, and I went in, and they did the study, and they put these stents in. And so now they've got me on, they have me on statins, and so I've had the stent, I'm on statin, I'm fine. And I had to point out to him, no, the statin lowers your LDL, but what about the HDL? What about the little patrol cars? Did they not discuss that with you, how important that was? You need to lose weight. He's about 40 pounds overweight. Did they not talk to you about losing weight? He calls back. He set his goal to go to a BMI of 25, which is the first number for overweightness. I had to remind him of that. I said, don't go by that. You've got to decide that you're going to lose the weight. It's more than just the statin. And everybody that's on statin needs to not just read your cholesterol meter, they need to study it like they were going to school, because that gives you a false sense of security if you're on a statin and you think
and you're not opposed to statins.
No, statins.
I take a statin, and that's gotten my LDL below 49.
Right.
But I also do those other things you're talking about.
Right. You exercise and eat. The statin will get it down, but you have to realize that statin, there's a higher incidence of diabetes if you take statin. There's muscle aches, joint aches, all of this that are side effects of statin. Statins do bring your LDL down. That is great. But there are other ways to get it down by avoiding those foods that you just described.
It didn't work for me. After I'd had the heart attack, I ate birdseed, man. It was a happy day that I had a physician tell me, we're going to put the good cholesterol back into your diet.
Right.
I was not eating. I was eating 8 grams of all kinds of fat per day.
Yeah.
And he set me free from that, the olive oil and and the other things that you have talked about. But it's a matter of becoming acquainted with your body and mastery over it. That's a good thing from the spiritual point of view, isn't it?
It is, and I think you ought to ask the Lord to help you overcome these bad roads that we're on, to let Him be a part of protecting yourself.
Dick, our time's getting away, but there's something I really, really want to talk to you about. You got another book about dementia, and you make the point, not only in that book, but in this one, that you can keep your body younger, longer, if you do the right things. Now, what in the world does cholesterol have to do with dementia? Because we're all scared of it. We're all scared of Alzheimer's. I mean, you know, one of the most unfortunate things is when you no longer have your memory, you lose your personhood. And we're talking to a lot of people right now who have relatives, and some of them are listening to us and know where that's going. You make the point that the wrong foods are directly related to dementia. First of all, what's the name of the book that we're talking about?
Well, we're just...
You haven't finished it, right?
I have finished it. The publisher's going through it right now, and it'll come out this fall. It's called Defeating Dementia. And it's so exciting in learning that there are things that you can do to defeat dementia. Now, just like we were talking about genetics, up until a few years ago, I thought that Alzheimer's was 95% genetics. My mother-in-law, 15 years of Alzheimer's. And I just think, oh, what I'd hate to go through that. I don't want to go through that. And we were talking about being down on the beach in Cayman.
Yeah, you and I together. Right. Had a wonderful time.
Right. And I was sitting there, and I was preparing Prescription for Life book. And there was an article there out of the medical literature that talked about Alzheimer's. I started to not even read it because it wasn't about what I was working on. But I looked at it, and I read that there were things that would decrease your chance of having Alzheimer's. And I looked at, hey, this is the same diet that I'm writing about protecting your arteries. And it said that if you ate the same diet that's in these books, in your cholesterol matters, the same diet, you could decrease your chances of getting Alzheimer's by 40%. Man, that woke me up. I looked at it. I kept reading and said they had a group where they had studied them for years, and half of the group exercised, half of them didn't exercise. Half of them ate a certain way, others didn't eat a certain way. So they were able to compare them. The ones that exercised the way we're trying to encourage had a 48% less likelihood of getting dementia. Mm. And then in the group, there was a smaller group that had done both, that ate properly and exercised. They had a 67% less likelihood of Alzheimer's. Now, they'd followed them for years to see this. I got up on the beach. I went to all my friends that I saw, and I showed them that article. And I said, remember those numbers, 40, 48, and 67. I said, there's something that can be done on Alzheimer's. And that's what got me started on this defeating dementia idea. Everybody needs to know that.
Now, what does cheese, what does ice cream and red meat and egg yolks and the other things mentioned in your book, Prescription for Life, how does that affect the brain?
Okay, here's the deal. If you'll read 10 articles about Alzheimer's, there'll be about three of those articles will make a point, a statement, that what's good for your heart's good for your brain. And then you start looking into that, and it is this what you eat. It's the LDL cholesterol. It's what affects the arteries of your brain, the LDL cholesterol and the HDL cholesterol in your exercise. All of this affects the arteries of your brain just like it's affecting the arteries of your heart. But it goes hand in hand. Your heart has to pump a sufficient amount of blood to your brain for the brain to work properly. So they've started studying people in their mid-age. And this is what was exciting to me, to find out that they can find out what's the beginning of Alzheimer's before you ever have any symptoms. And there's one protein called beta amyloid. That's how Dr. Alzheimer's diagnosed Alzheimer's disease. He followed a female patient along, and when she died, he did an autopsy, and he found this beta amyloid. You spell that BETAAMYLOID, beta amyloid. That's what gives you the diagnosis of Alzheimer's. It goes back to 1905, whenever he first did the autopsy. Well, now you find out you don't have to do an autopsy. And see, and this is what I've been thinking for years, well, you can't really diagnose Alzheimer's unless you do an autopsy and find this beta amyloid. But in start reviewing the medical literature, realize in the past few years, with MRIs, with PET scans, they can study the brain and see deposits of beta amyloid in the brain. They go back to middle-aged people and they start realizing that, hey, 20 years, up to 20 years before they ever had the first symptom, they see beta amyloid. So it is happening in your brain, and then they can study, okay, these people who eat like we're wanting them to eat, they have a 40% less deposit of the beta amyloid than someone who eats like we used to eat.
But if I understand you correctly, it all goes back to the blood supply to the brain.
Well,
in other words, the deposits that restrict the arteries keep the brain from getting as much blood supply as it ought to, and therefore these disorders develop. Is that an oversimplification?
That's a little oversimplified because they don't know what causes the beta amyloid deposits. All they can do is say, we can say that what you do that helps your heart and helps the arteries, you have a less chance of Alzheimer's. That's why there's no cure for Alzheimer's. Once the beta amyloid hits those cells, encompasses them, and they die, they're not coming back to life. There's no treatment for beta amyloid. And that's why it's so hard, because they can't figure out, well, what's causing the beta amyloid? And, well, if you remove the beta amyloid, will they get better? Well, they don't. That's the hard part about it. So it's not that simple to say, okay, it's an arterial disease. We can't say that it is, but you can say that if you protect your arteries, your chances of developing Alzheimer's is markedly less, about like this 68%. They've got percentages. Same thing with weight. The same thing with people who exercise. They can say if you're overweight or if you're diabetic, if you have high blood pressure, all of those factors play a role in the Alzheimer's.
Going back to the spiritual component to all this, Corinthians 6:12 says, honor God with your bodies.
Right.
It's pretty clear what he's saying to us there, isn't it?
Right. And that is a big part of all of this. And it's, I have Christian friends who say, well, God knows the day I'm going to die, I'm going to just keep eating the way I want to, or I'm not going to exercise. I've had discussions with Christian friends along this line, but I remind them that we're the caretakers of the great gift that God has given us in our bodies, and we ought to do everything that we can. I look at it spiritually. A lot of people don't. I don't argue with them, but I feel like that if somebody gave me a car as a present, I'm going to keep it upright. I'm going to keep the oil changed. I'm going to keep it clean. I'm going to do all I can.
You're not going to drive 100 miles an hour on the freeway.
Right. So the spiritual aspect of it is big in my mind, that this is a great gift that God has given us. We're the caretakers. This body is God's body. I am the caretaker, and I want to take care of it the best that I can.
And you have more than 30 years of experience in vascular surgery. So you're trying to prolong life and to preserve health in your patients. But you also have another passion, which is to prevent the diseases that rob people of long life and health. And I'd be hard-pressed to say which one of those you're most passionate about, but they really go together, don't they?
Well, I tell you, since I've started writing, it's when I've realized I'm much more passionate in this preventive part of medicine than I ever was, and the surgery was fun. Surgery is fun to do. It's a great part of medicine, I think. But as far as really helping people get healthy, to get younger physiologically, that's exciting to me.
This latest book, Your Cholesterol Matters, What Your Numbers Mean and How You Can Improve Them. It's written by Dr. Richard Furman. This is available any place where you can buy books today, Amazon and all the usual places. If you can't find it anywhere else, contact us and we will provide the information for you. This is a good book. You ought to be reading it. You ought to be exercising the principles that are read and contained in this book. Well, we've been talking to Dr. Richard Furman, a physician. He is a vascular surgeon with more than 30 years of experience, and now he has become writing very practical and useful books that get into medical information that's easy to understand, but highly relevant to the people who avail themselves of them. One of them we've been talking about for 2 days is Your Cholesterol Matters, and then we got into the subject of dementia. I thought, Dick, that that was absolutely fascinating. And we're going to have you back as many times as you'll come. It's such a pleasure to have you here. And you love the Lord, don't you?
I sure do, and it's a real honor to be here with you.
And you are associated with Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse. You're on the board for Samaritan's Purse. You've been on many medical boards, and and leadership organizations. I appreciate what you stand for, and it's been a pleasure having you here.
It's been a real honor to be here, Dr. Dobson. Thank you.
Your health matters. That's been our theme on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. You can hear both ends of this two-part conversation on demand right now on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Dr. Richard Furman has been Dr. Dobson's guest for this discussion. Dr. Furman is the author of a number of helpful books, including Your Cholesterol Matters and Prescription for Life. We have links for both resources on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.